Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
The update that I wanted to really cover here is the unsurprising news, at least to those of us who've been paying attention to the various different school shootings that have happened over the years, the unsurprising news that the police sat outside of this school for upwards of an hour. And then apparently, when they went into the school, sat outside of the room in question in which the shooter had been shooting at, I don't know, close to two dozen children. They sat outside that room in the hallway for more than 45 minutes.
Of course, yeah. Ian, they were protecting the shooter. If you know, they, protect and serve, it's their motto.
If they'd had a harmless pot dealer in there to murder, they would have gotten that door open. They have no problem getting the door open for a no-knock raid.
Yep.
But when there's somebody killing children, well, you gotta take your time.
I mean,
you don't want to hurt.
They did. I mean, in the police officer's defense, they did tackle the parents. You know,
yes,
they were trying to.
Yeah,
you know,
they found the courage to attack the parents.
Right, the parents who desperately wanted to get in and help their own children were prohibited from doing so due to, I don't even know what the excuse is. Oh, we have to keep you safe from taking a risk and saving your kids.
Right, which, I mean, isn't that what people do? People take risks to save their children.
That's
all
what
the
a good
time.
Parent would do. Yeah, I mean, that's what I think a lot of parents would probably do. Why were there so many federal agents around? Because apparently federal agents were involved on this scene, like almost immediately. Not just the Border Patrol, but maybe some other federal agents, you know, giving orders. Why were they around? This is a little town in the middle of Southwest Texas.
That is interesting.
Well, maybe they planned this thing.
That's what
with
I'm saying.
The guy, you know, and maybe it was an accident though. Maybe it was like when they planned the kidnapping of the governor of Michigan. Mm-hmm. I mean, what if the other guys that they set it up with had said, "Nah, those guys are idiots. Let's do it ourselves a little earlier."
You and they might have pulled it off.
It could have turned into a real plot. Now of course the people that they organized in that particular thing didn't have the gumption and they weren't really looking to kidnap the governor. But
I mean, we're in a small town here, right?
Yeah.
Keene, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Now I don't know what the population of Uvalde is. I'm going to try to find out. But Keene has about 23,000 people. I mean, depending on whether the college is in session or not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as far as getting across the city, the downtown area, the police are not far away. If you're pretty much anywhere in the city, even if they had to come from, you know, from the police station, we know they're always driving around everywhere. But even if they had to come from that far away, it's probably not much more than 10 minutes. It's just so unbelievable how these officers are behaving, even just according to the official numbers in the official story. So I'm just going to go through this, and you guys are...
Because the AP pretty much just reprints government press releases.
That's my point, yeah. So they say it was 11:28 when Ramos's Ford, that's the apparent shooter, slammed into a ditch behind the low-slung Texas school, and the driver jumped out carrying an AR-15-style rifle. 5 minutes after, authorities say, Ramos entered the school and found his way to the fourth-grade classroom where he killed the 21 victims. But it wasn't until 12:58 p.m. So 90 minutes later, that law enforcement radio chatter said Ramos had been killed and the siege was over. What happened in those 90 minutes has fueled mounting public anger and scrutiny over law enforcement's response, or lack thereof, to Tuesday's rampage. Javier Cesares, whose fourth-grade daughter Jacqueline was killed in the attack and who raced to the school as it unfolded, said, quote, "They say they rushed in. We didn't see that," unquote. According to the new timeline provided by, I guess this is a spokes bureaucrat, Stephen McCraw, head of Texas Department of Safety, McCraw, who admits that it was the, quote, "wrong decision." What he's going to what he's referring to as a wrong decision was waiting.
I'll bet that sticks in McCraw.
So they claim, or the police spokesperson did not even address why that door was propped open.
Right.
2 minutes later, three local police officers arrived and entered the building through the same door, followed soon after by four others. Within 15 minutes, as many as 19 officers from different agencies had assembled in the hallway, taking sporadic fire from Ramos, who was holed up in a classroom. So if you believe the police report, they had officers in the building 2 minutes after this young man entered the building. That's what they're saying.
And it took him an hour to take him out.
That's what, yep.
19 cops.
Ramos was still inside at 12:10 p.m. when the first U.S. Marshals Service deputies arrived. They say they raced to the school from nearly 70 miles away at a border town of Del Rio in a tweet Friday. But the commander inside the building, school district's police chief, Pete Arredondo, decided the group should wait to confront the gunman. On the group of 19 cops.
We don't have enough of a numerical advantage yet. We got to have at least 30 to 1.
And what was his reason for this? He believed the scene was no longer an active attack. I mean, just why would you?
That doesn't even make sense. I mean, what if there was a kid in there who had been shot but wasn't dead yet?
Yeah.
They need medical attention. I saw an interview with a cop where the amazingly enough, the interviewer actually asked a good question. Mm. And these days, mostly the media is just mouthpieces for the state. But the guy said, so we had the shooter trapped in this room, and the interviewer is like, wasn't he trapped in that room with children? Yeah. And the cop literally didn't answer. He reiterated a bunch of stuff he'd already said, but he didn't say a word about whether or not they barricaded a gunman into a room with children.
Yeah, I don't think they did the barricading. Supposedly the shooter had barricaded himself, but apparently these officers couldn't be bothered to break a door down. They waited until keys were fetched by a janitor and then unlocked the door before going in there. I mean, it's like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. They have no problem breaking your door down.
Or smashing in windows, in the case here in the Free Talk Live studio.
Driving a tank through.
That was overwhelming force.
And I think, again, it's important to reiterate that this is not unusual. And there's a lot of people looking at this, acting like this is, oh my God, how could our heroes, the Thin Blue Line, they're supposed to protect us from the terrorists and from the horrible murderers out there. How could our heroes have dropped the ball on this? And Ian, it's like, this happens every time.
It's just one bad cop, Ian. Mm. You know, they're not, most of them are good people.
But they keep transferring them from place to place. Yeah. He's always in the wrong
They keep
spot.
Showing up at the same schools.
Yeah.
All these school shootings. So, and they even put it in the story here. In 1999, at the Columbine High School massacre, the one that really kind of kicked all this off, police waited outside and didn't enter until almost 2 hours after Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold started shooting, and an hour after they committed suicide.
Wait, so,
They were dead.
Yep.
Wow. What were they waiting for? A message saying the shooter is dead so they could enter safely?
Officer safety, Chris. That's what it always is about. They have to make sure they have enough equipment or enough men, or they pump themselves up enough or whatever it is. They got to have officer safety because we wouldn't want to lose any of our heroes.
What are these guys being paid for?
That's a great question.
To protect the government from you.
That's what it comes down
to,
doesn't
it? But they're so chicken that they can't even protect kids. How are they going to protect the government?
Well, they can tackle some parents.
How many of the people who are outraged, and a lot of them are on the right, I saw one of these commentators, Matt Walsh, I believe is his name. He's one of the right-wing
Wait, they didn't come out and defend the cops?
Oh, he's outraged. He thinks the cops are, you know, terrible Ooh. For what they did.
Wow.
But I don't think that a lot of the right-wingers understand the problem. And the problem isn't that, oh, men aren't real men or anything like that anymore. The problem is bureaucrats have no responsibility to do anything. Mm. And as far as the police are concerned, It goes back for decades. This isn't some recent development. It's some, oh, it's because, you know, we're just babying children these days. And that's not necessarily, I'm not saying that's a good thing or anything. I'm not a favorite.
Well, there's some truth to that too, but
yeah, there is. I'm not
that's
saying
not what
that,
you're talking about.
Right. I'm not saying that rounding off all the corners and not subjecting children to risk is a good thing. And that's certainly the direction society has been going.
Well, they subjected these kids to risk.
They sure did. Yeah, if you want your kids to be safe, you shouldn't be sending them to government schools.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
God, no.
I don't know. When I think of advocating to subjecting kids to a little bit of risk, I don't think I meant that far.
Yeah.
let's not end up with dead kids.
Right. Yeah, I mean, let them play in the mud or something, yeah. But don't let them go to a government school.
The story here at Fee, which actually was recently published, this is pretty fresh, came out... Oh, I'm sorry. No, it wasn't recent. I thought... Wow, this is an oldie. This is a 20-year-old story from Fee. They say the law is similar in most states. Again, we were talking about the Warren versus District of Columbia story, where these people were raped and, you know, attacked by these killers, and ultimately the police did nothing and then were found to have no obligation to protect. Well, so did also states. A Kansas statute precludes citizens from suing the government or the police for negligently failing to enforce the law or for failing to provide police or even fire protection. A California law states that, quote, neither a public entity nor a public employee is liable for failure to establish a police department or otherwise provide police protection service. As one California appellate court wrote, quote, police officers have no affirmative statutory duty to do anything.
Yeah.
Unquote.
But they can steal as much of your money as they want.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is, and as you pointed out, Chris, the Warren case is not unusual. It's been reaffirmed and reaffirmed and reaffirmed. This isn't some one-off oddball case from 1975. It keeps on coming back because, hey, guess what? There's a bunch of people out there that they thought the police were out there to protect and serve them.
Yeah. You know, but Ian, I thought you could sue the government for, you know, some things at least.
Barely
you
anything.
You can sue. You'll
barely
just
anything.
Lose.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Y'all have failed to report one very key part of this story that I think needs to be addressed. The two officers did go in. They did go in. And they got their kids and they left.
Yeah. Well, no,
we did mention that.
At least one of those officers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you did mention it?
Yeah.
So here's my question. If you go in and get your kid, why don't you get the entire class?
Well, they didn't go into that room, I suspect, because otherwise they would have had a shootout on their hands. So there was more than one classroom.
Still, what I'm saying is they went into a classroom, got a child, they walked out. Why did they not evacuate that one child's entire class at that one time?
That's a very good question.
That is a good question.
Yeah. Anything else you want to share, Steve?
How is it that the perimeter they made was not able to be breached except for by the officer's wife to pick up the officer's kid?
Well, I mean, that's obvious. She's the officer's wife. So she's got the special blue flag or whatever. She's got the officer's
she
privilege.
She took all those beatings for a reason.
Oh, wow. So nobody is referencing the fact that a large percentage of...
domestic violence.
40%.
Yeah, 40%
four
of...
Four times more than the general public.
Spouses of police officers beat their wives.
James Davidson had been abusing and harassing his wife, Catherine Ford, after their separation. Catherine got a court order against James to stop his misconduct. Grafton police knew about James and told her that they couldn't provide protection around the clock. One officer, frankly, advised her to buy a gun. I believe this is Grafton, Massachusetts. Buy a gun because the only way to deal with violence is violence, he said. Catherine didn't take that advice. Over the next 15 months, James continued to harass and stalk her, and he repeatedly threatened to kill her and her family. James terrorized Catherine and her family at their homes. He attacked her at her workplace. James's own psychiatrist warned Catherine that James had plans to kill her. Despite all of his vicious and unlawful behavior, the police never arrested James for violating the court order. And normally these guys will arrest you with the drop of a hat for violating a court order.
She should have told the cops he was smoking weed. Then they would have gone after him.
James issued his final death threat on January 16th, 1986. Catherine reported the threat to the police. At about 6 o'clock the next evening, James started kicking down her back door. When she ran out the front door, James spotted her and chased her, even as she charged through moving traffic on the street. She pounded on a neighbor's door, but no one would let her inside. As she ran to the next house, James caught her.
How could somebody see that and not help?
Oh, maybe they just saw somebody pounding on the door, not necessarily the person who was chasing him.
The two cases are not legal oddities, though. A general rule of law in the United States is that government owes a duty to protect the public in general, but owes no legal duty to protect any particular person from criminal attack. Well,
how can you protect the public without protecting any of the people?
Yeah, that's what I was going
to make up the public.
Right. Like, what does that actually mean? Because when it comes down to it,
it means nothing.
Yeah.
I think I know what they mean. I think what they're trying to say here is the tickets that they issue, you know, for, you know, minor violations, that's the job of the police. That's how they supposedly protect you.
That's fundraising.
It's by effectively punishing people. Somehow that's protecting you.
Yeah, but that's fundraising. We know what that really is.
I mean, sure, it is fundraising, but that's what they consider protection.
And when it comes to the public, I have advocated for years that is simply code for government. Whenever you hear people in the state, people, whether they be state reps or you know, city councilors or police chiefs or whatever, whenever you hear them talking about the public this, the public that, just in your mind, substitute the government for the words the public, and the things they're saying will start to make sense, because they obviously have no obligation to protect you. And if they don't have an obligation to protect you as an individual, they certainly don't have a room to protect the four or the three of us as individuals. Mm. So at what point do individuals become the public? Now, they believe you're obligated to do everything they tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't jump through their hoops that they put up, if you don't pay their taxes they demand that you pay, if you don't follow their stupid regulations that they made up, well, then they will put you in a prison cell, and if you don't want to go to the prison cell, they'll kill you. That's how that works. But if they don't do something that you thought they had to do because, oh, I don't know, they've been driving around with to protect and serve on the side of police vehicles for some number of decades in some areas of the country, some places they've taken that off, the police vehicles. They don't have any obligation to do anything. They don't have to come to your calls.
No obligation to protect and no obligation to serve.
They don't have to speak to you. They don't have to come to the call if you call them. If they show up at the call and they shoot the wrong person, they're not liable for that. If they show up at the call and murder your dog, they're not liable for that. And if they show up at the call and kill your child, they're not liable for that either.
But you better pay your taxes.
Yep. If they fail to catch the real killer, if they fail to solve the crime that was done against you, even if there is plenty of evidence, they're not liable for any of those things. And the final thought here, it's not the end of the story, but the end of the story does go on. I will link to it over at social.freetalklive.com. It's a foundation for economic education. But the final point to make for this conversation is that neither the U.S. Constitution nor the federal civil rights laws require states to protect citizens from crime.
I've got a little knowledge from past employment in the area, and I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that usually police, you know, they get sued. First one called, the guy right out there in the front line. But like you say, if a person violating an order of protection, a pickup order, a restraining order, whatever, they get a call, he's violated, okay, you got to find him. That's still, that piece of paper doesn't mean you're protected. So what I'm saying, if you feel threatened, like we've said, like you said, protect yourself. When the, you know, not as many police officers as people. And I understand people's frustration.
But of course, it would be a lot easier to protect ourselves if we had back all the money that we paid the government for protection that we didn't receive. Imagine this woman who got shot in the face by her ex-husband. Imagine if the government had given her back every dime she ever paid in taxes, since they weren't going to provide any service to her, and she was able to go out and hire someone to protect her.
Well, and then again, police officers don't control those funds.
They don't control anything. They don't protect anybody. They don't serve anybody. So the question is, what are they good for?
Okay, well, the police serve the citizens and at the direction of the citizens.
Well, it seems to me they serve the politicians.
Whose responsibility is that?
Well, I'll tell you what I know. I know they threw me in jail for a year over weed when I didn't hurt anybody. So how about if we just stop having mandatory taxes? How about if we stop having any corporation that can force you to pay for a product that you don't want and didn't receive?
Okay,
does that sound fair to you?
That's above a policeman's level. That's not my decision.
I can't decide. I can't answer your question. I'm not allowed to think.
Yeah, well, I can't tell you if it's above a policeman's level or not, but you are a person, right? Well, as a person, do you think that we should be forced?
He can't listen if he's talking.
Yes.
I am listening.
No, you can't listen if you're talking. That's a general rule of life. If you're just words coming out your mouth, you can't listen.
Okay, go ahead.
So the question is, should any corporation have the power to force you to buy a product you don't want and then not provide the product that they're paying for? And if not, what is the moral justification for taxes?
If you're talking about a corporation, I agree with you. No, they can't make you buy something you don't want.
The government is just a corporation. It is a legal fiction.
We disagree there.
David, you did mention briefly that you had some sort of past action as a police officer or law enforcement officer, but I didn't ask you for specifics. I am curious, for whom did you work? You don't have to say which department, but, you know, what level were you? A county sheriff's deputy or a local cop?
Police department, finished in administration. But I was going to add something about the Uvalde thing just to, you know, for your listeners. From what it's coming out, I don't think it's too early to make a comment on it. Either the guys down there had a great lack of training, bad training, or bad leadership at the scene. I did that job for 28 years. 11 years I was on a special response, special operations team. I attended military special operations schools. Me, police department, special operations schools, all our active shooter training that we went through constantly, over and over, especially involving a school, there was no stand and wait. There was no wait for reinforcements. There was no, you know, prepare yourself. It was out of the car into the school. So the training they got was severely lacking, or really bad leadership, but just that's not everywhere. That's not how training should be. That's not how it's taught now. That's not how it was taught 20 years ago when I started doing it. So I don't know what was going on down there. And I'm sorry for it, and it breaks my heart to be in that job and see that happen.
When the city council of Keene, New Hampshire announced that they were looking at getting this machine, a huge outcry from the people of this the town came out about this. And when I say huge, I'm not exaggerating here. It was 90%, according to one of the city councilors, as far as the calls and the emails and the contacts on the street that this city councilor received in regards to the people's opposition to receiving this weapon, to receiving this tank. And it was both people on the right and people on the left and people with no party affiliation who came out. They packed the city council meeting. They packed it so hard they had to shut down. They had to have the fire marshal on the first floor of the city council building, keeping people out of the second floor because there were too many people in the meeting. They couldn't allow legally another person to go in. So you had to wait. If you were downstairs, you had to wait till somebody came down. They just, you know, happened to leave, then they'd let you up. That was how busy it was. That was how packed it was. Despite the fact that 90% of the people were contacting these city councilors against it, despite the fact that the room was packed full of people, and the only people who spoke in favor of the Bearcat were active duty and retired cops. Despite all of that, the city council voted, I believe it was 13-3, if I recall correctly, 13-3 or 12-3, in favor of receiving this tank.
There is nothing in life that is one size fits all. There's no company in the world that provides a service that everybody likes, you know? And normally that's okay.
Because you're not forced to pay for it.
Yeah. If McDonald's provides food that you don't want to eat, you don't have to pay McDonald's.
That's right.
You can go pay somebody who provides something you want. If Netflix doesn't provide the kind of entertainment that you like, and I don't want to pick on Netflix because I loved the letter they sent to their wokists. But you buy your entertainment from somebody else. Only in this one area, and it's one of the most important areas in life, one of the greatest questions in life is how are you going to provide yourself with security? You know, one of the most important duties that every man has is to defend his family and his loved ones. But yet it's the one area of life where you are forced to pay for a service, whether you want it or not, whether it's any good or not, and whether or not the people paid actually deliver the service, you're forced at gunpoint to pay for it.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.